Petersburg Borough Assembly meetings are brought to you by KFSK and Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, helping clients find out how to protect any valuable asset, from stamp or teacup collections to houses and boats of all sizes and everything in between. Plenty of information from the local agents is available. Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, 772-3858.
Meeting to order. I guess we can stand up and do the voluntary pledge of allegiance.
Actually, let's have a roll call first, please.
Sure.
Thank you. Jay? Excuse.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Bob?
Here.
Mark?
He was. He's here.
Thank you. Brandy?
Here.
Taylor?
Here.
Chelsea?
Excuse.
Here.
Here.
Jeff?
Yes.
Thank you.
It's hard to say. Yep. We'll stand up and do the voluntary Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America,
and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. We already did the presentation of certification for Lisa Murph. So I guess we're headed to approval of minutes from the last meeting on March 2nd, 2020.
So
moved. Second.
Moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? Okay. All those in favor say aye.
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 Okay. Sounds good.
Thank you.
Are there any amendments to the agenda?
Do I need to put it on the floor first?
Sure.
So yep. I move to approve the agenda as is.
A second.
Okay. Now, I have two amendments, Mr. Mayor, that I'd like to add to that.
Sure.
Under 16A, I'm going to replace the 16A and move it to 16B. And I have an amendment here for declaration of a disaster emergency that I want to put in 16A.
Yep.
And then I want to move 16C down, and my new 16C is going to be Ordinance 2020-07, an emergency ordinance amending Borough Code Section 3.08.080 to provide for temporary establishment of a quorum of the Assembly, four or more, even if participating by teleconference. And I'd like to add those as we come to them.
Yep. I'll second that.
It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Clerk, call the roll, please. Oh, go ahead, Chelsea.
Chair?
Yes, Mr. Mayor?
I kind of caught most of that. Member Lynn wanted to move the discussion of the quorum requirements during the health crisis to an action item. Is that what I understood?
That's correct.
Actually, Mr. Mayor, we have an emergency ordinance that has been drafted that you do not have in front of you. And so the discussion item is still under discussion. Don't know if we'll need to discuss it by the time we get there. But this emergency ordinance, per the attorney, per charter, per code, can be put on an agenda. The agenda can be amended even though it's an action item. And it can be passed in one reading because it's an emergency ordinance. An emergency ordinance is only good for 60 days, so it would expire in 60 days unless otherwise stated or it gets ended by resolution. And this emergency ordinance, I have put in there that it would end April 30th, and then I figured if we needed to do another one at that time, we could.
Okay, I get it. Thank you. Just one clarification. Appreciate it.
Okay,
so I'm calling the roll for the amendments. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Chelsea?
Yeah.
Taylor?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Brandy?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay.
And then should we approve the agenda as amended?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Is there a motion to...
It is on the floor.
Yep.
Taylor?
Yes.
Brandy?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Chelsea?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
And Bob?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, so are we in public hearings right here? Mm-hmm. So the public hearings for ordinance number 2020-03, an ordinance adopting Alaska Remote Seller Tax Code and Amendment Provisions of Charter 4.23 for purposes of consistency. Is there a motion to pass this? And it's yes, ma'am.
Public testimony.
Yeah, so this is for public testimony, so yep. You just ask if anyone in the room is wanting to testify on this ordinance.
And seeing none, we'll just proceed on. Right? Okay. Public hearing number, I guess, B. Public hearing ordinance 2020-04 regarding an ordinance amending Petersburg Municipal Code 3.48, titled Parks and Recreation Department, to reflect the borough incorporation. Is there any discussion about that? Hearing none, we'll move on. Public hearings number C. Public hearings for ordinance number 2020-05, ordinance adopting a new Petersburg Municipal Code, Chapter 3.49, titled Parks and Recreation Advisory Board. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, public hearing will be closed. The agenda item is number 7. There's no bid awardings. I guess there's persons to be heard related to agenda items. Hello, Dave.
Hey.
Can you state your name and what you're talking about, please?
Good evening. My name is David Beebe. I'm representing myself. I've actually got two items on the agenda to address, so I'll start with this one. The letter in first, I'd like to ask the Assembly to consider the news articles in the Juneau Empire that are asking for a reconsideration of the Cake Road. It seems that if these articles state failures of the Cake mayor to inform the residents of Cake for support of the road, it actually involved the response of the Cake citizens to understanding that letter was to circulate a petition and to find out what the consensus of the populace was there. And the results are 217 residents were opposed to the road, 27 residents were in favor of the road, and 24 residents were undecided. And so this letter in support of extending the road from the Petersburg Borough process follows pretty much the same tactic or strategy that the Cake mayor used, because it's ignoring the longstanding record of public opposition. So the question also is sort of outstanding, given what has been revealed in my last testimony on the relationship of the president of Global NRG, and the question is what is that relationship to Senator Stedman? And also, is the Assembly aware that the president of Cake Tribal Corporation also promoted a failed project identical to what is being proposed by Cake Tribal? When he was the MP in Canadian Parliament, and he was advocating for this same plasma gas municipal waste project that ultimately failed in Red Deer. And it was over the course of several years that it was discovered that it was completely inappropriate. So I would just ask the Assembly to consider that the city of Kuprinoff is against this road, as well as members of the rest of the borough are on record. And the medevac system coordinator of CAKE reports that the existing system has worked pretty well, and he's a little bit surprised to suggest transporting a patient over 60 miles of a single-lane gravel road round trip without communications makes a difficult situation far worse. So the first responders, of course, would be out of operating distance to, if anything happened, there would be no way for them to come in while they were, report any difficulties while they were on that transport. And there would be.
Thank you. Okay. Can you wrap up your testimony? Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Are there any other persons wishing to speak on related items to the agenda? This would be a good time, Kurt. Yes, sir. Yep.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Now, yes. I received a letter. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
I received a letter from Rebecca Knight, and she asked me to read it into the record. I'm not there, so I can't read it into the record. If anybody else chose to, I don't know if the clerk has a copy of it or not. But then there's another letter that came from Casey Knight, and they should both at least be entered into the minutes. So that's all I have.
Which they will be.
Yes, we can do that, Mark. Yep, that sounds good.
Okay, my name's Kurt Cavisto, and I'm here to represent Alaska Marine Lines and Alaska Marine Trucking. I was asked to talk briefly about the coronavirus and our plans company-wide, and I have a little brief deal I'll read as far as what Linden's plans are. Anyway, Linden continues to maintain normal business operations, and our services continue to run according to our regular service schedules. We have been closely monitoring the COVID-19 situation, and while a concern we take seriously, the Linden family of companies has procedures and plans in place to mitigate the effects of a larger outbreak on our operations. Safety is one of our core values, and we have key personnel dedicated to ensuring we operate in a safe, secure, and environmentally responsible manner. We maintain active communications with local and federal agencies and closely monitor recommendations by the CDC. We are communicating with employees working in areas affected by COVID-19 and adjusting practices to ensure proper precautions are taken. Please contact us with any questions or concerns about our services or contingency plans. And if anyone wants information, they could go to shipaml.com, and there's all kinds of different places you can get information on.
All right. Thanks a lot, Kurt.
You bet.
Appreciate your testimony. Is there anybody else who would like to speak under unrelated to agenda items?
Related.
Related, sorry. Okay.
Your name? Barry Morrison from the Trading Union.
And Jim Floyd from Hammer Weekon. We met earlier, so this is kind of a joint statement that we put together. The welfare, this is in relation to the coronavirus and our plans for if an event, a breakout does occur. So the welfare of our employees and communities are our utmost in priority. Realizing that groceries are a necessity to the community, we will take steps to ensure we're able to meet the needs of everyone. As you heard from Kurt, They already have a plan in place for the BART system, which we all rely on. I have been communicating to my employees what steps they need to ensure their safety as well as our patrons. Constant cleaning, hand washing, sleep, hydration. We have employees that are part of the high-risk category, and if there is an epidemic, they are expected not to show up to work. I want to start by assuring you the supply chain won't be disrupted. We can get product on the barge or, if necessary, still on the plane. Let's hope that's a last resort. Some items will be limited to the manufacturers not being able to keep up with the high demand. If you've been watching the news, you'll see toilet paper. In the event of a coronavirus outbreak, the following will go into effect. We both have agreed that seniors and high-risk people will be encouraged to take advantage of home deliveries. So, they can call and email in, and they will be delivered to their doorstep to make sure there's no contamination. Ad changes will be suspended, and labor resources will be reallocated. So instead of changing ads, those people will help with the orders. An email address has been set up. We will ask that orders be limited in order to accommodate a larger percentage of the population due to increased demand on the labor resources. It may be necessary to reduce the hours of operations to account for a reduced workforce. As long as everyone remains reasonable, we see no reasons why this can't work to benefit everybody. So hoarding and severe stocking will be counterproductive to the mass population. We need the understanding that orders take 10 days from start delivery. When we put an order in the system, it takes 10 days for us to get it in stock. So there is always that 10-day delay. And manufacturers are having a hard time keeping up with demand. Realize that your favorite brand may not be available, but substitutions will be. The other thing that's really important to understand that we are prioritizing shelf-stable items that's frozen and canned and packaged over fresh because that creates a longer sustainment for the population. That becomes our priority. So, yeah?
No, okay. And we just want to say, too, that one of the neat things with Petersburg, even compared to what horrors you see on the shelves down south and everything else, is that we have the ability, our combined resources together, to be able to take care of the town without people having to worry. You don't have to get scared that we're going to be out of product or food. We've got that completely under control with AML and both of our suppliers. We are going to be able to deliver straight to your homes all the time. Where down south, they don't have that security. We do. We don't need to worry. We don't need to stress out. We are working diligently every day to make sure that our main staple products are taken care of for the town, because we realize that it's, if you do have to be home for 2 weeks, no big deal. We get barges every week. AML is doing everything they can. Our suppliers are doing the same, and we will be there throughout the whole thing to make sure that everybody doesn't have to stress or worry that we're going to be out. So, please go about your day safely. Shop once a week like you always did. And if you can't make it in, call us. We'll have it to your door that day. It's not a big deal. We'll be here, even if there's only four of us doing it. We'll deliver their stuff. They'll deliver our stuff. We'll all be good. So.
That's great.
We're there to help.
That is great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I have a question.
Chelsea's on the phone.
Sure.
Yeah. I was wondering, I heard you mention that the at-risk employees could go home. Is that paid time off from you guys?
Well, what we've been working on, I believe Jim is doing some of the same, is we're looking at people's vacation pay that they have already saved up and accrued, so that if somebody is at risk and they need to go home, it is for at least the foreseeable, the 2 weeks, they can be covered and they can be paid, because we don't want to put our employees in a bad situation.
And are you looking into exploring that, if this, just some of the extended timelines that are coming out about all this? Are you working on a systemic solution if this does become something that we need to deal with for longer than the 2 weeks?
Well, yes, we've put several plans on the books saying that if it was going to be an extended period of time to make sure that people weren't put at risk too much, you do shorter shifts. If we're only going to stick with 10 people in any kind of gathering, you do half shifts so that there's only 10 people at any given time, and they'd all have to share shifts. Those, you know, put them off in waves so that you got one batch that's off for 2 weeks, then come back, you got another shift that goes off and they're off for 2 weeks. You know, having people on call, if somebody, you know, it's your 2 weeks, but somebody gets sick, you know, you get to trade places and come in. All of our crews are on extra sanitation duty so that that doesn't happen. You know, so we're working as diligently as we can to make sure that everybody has time, has hours, and gets a paycheck. So while still being able to take care of everything and not do stuff. So, yeah, I don't
care. Yeah, thank you.
Anything else?
All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate the information.
Thank you.
It was awesome. Debbie, did we have a letter from Jay that we needed to read? Or?
Yes, thank you. He he's wasn't able to attend tonight, but he does have one comment he wanted read under visitors' views related to the agenda. This is Jay. I would like it on the record that I stand with the community of Kuprinoff in their opposition to this road. Writing a letter asking for this road to come to their community feels disrespectful to our neighbors. I urge the assembly to vote no.
Thank you. Okay. Are there any persons to be heard unrelated to agenda items? Thank you. Didn't see you back there.
Yeah. I'm Nate with Alaska Airlines. I just kind of wanted to give an update, just like our other companies around the town. So first and foremost, we know how...
Can you tell us who you are? And who
oh, yeah. It? Yeah, Nate with Alaska Airlines.
Okay.
Yep. We know how important it is to travel to our 19 communities we serve here in the state of Alaska. And so we're committed to serving the needs for our residents to make sure that the supply chain and goods and transport for our guests is available. With that, here's a few things we've done in the past weeks. We've taken the safety and the health of our employees very seriously. We are following CDC guidances and proper hygiene, such as hand washing and sanitizing our local station as well as our airplanes. We are asking guests and employees not feeling well to stay home. Enhanced cleaning on all of our aircrafts. This includes wiping down armrests, seat belts, vents, shades, and other touch points of the aircraft. All of our aircraft are equipped with HEPA filters, and it's a high-frequency air cabin circulation system that gets air from the outside so it doesn't circulate for more than 3 minutes. Additionally, we are deploying hand sanitizers at all of our workstations and back offices as well for guests and employees. We have appointed a task force led by our COO, and they are monitoring changes and updates on a daily basis. And then just a few other things. cancellation, there's a waiver in effect, and you can view all of those details online on alaskaair.com. We are experiencing high call volumes for cancellation, so anyone in our town here, if they're having trouble managing the online website, they could come up to the airports, and our employees have been useful in helping with that as well. There are three YouTube videos published online that talk about the cleanliness of our aircraft and shows how we do this process as well. And we are reducing about 15% of flying into May. Petersburg won't be impacted with that. And cargo airplanes are still going to be flying as normal. So that's all I got.
Thanks, Nate.
Thanks.
Any questions?
Nope.
Thank you very much for your time. Board, commissions, and committee reports. Oh, Dave.
I thought you were going to read Becky's letter.
Does anyone want to read it on the assembly?
For related to the agenda.
We can certainly. I mean, I don't.
Do you want to read it?
I don't have it right here, but I can.
I have it.
Okay. Thanks, Dave. I'll see how my reading skills are.
This is a letter from Rebecca Knight on March 11, 2020. I will be away halibut fishing and disappointed to be unable to attend the March 16th assembly meeting. Please accept my apologies. During the March 2nd, 2020 meeting, I requested that the Borough Assembly take action regarding the formal finding of the U.S. Forest Service 2016 Washington Office Activity Review of the Tongass, and the Bighorn Timber Sales. I made this appeal because, despite the borough's repeated requests to the Forest Service for more information about the Washington Office of Activity Review, the agency has been unresponsive to the point of utter disregard. In short, the Washington Office Activity Review included 18 formal findings of systematic failures of timber sale administration, monitoring and enforcement of the two above timber sale contracts. This directly affects our local economy. I am grateful that the borough clerk was directed by the mayor with no objection from the assembly to put something on the agenda about the issue for the next meeting, and that it made perfectly sense to do so. Perfect sense. Your body failed to take action on a factual resolution requesting the USDA Office of Inspector General to conduct a forensic audit in favor of a simple letter of inquiry to the Forest Service regarding the WOAR/3. This inquiry has been met with agency stonewalling despite repeated prompts. In fact, the regional forester also claimed last October during a meeting in the assembly chambers that the review should be completed within 2 to 4 weeks. Still nothing, and more than 15 months have passed since the letter of inquiry was sent. Given the utter failure of the Forest Service to the responsive to the repeated request for the information about the results of this important detailed review of the two Tongass timber sales, an independent forensic audit of the two timber sale contracts is long overdue and certainly prudent. If an independent audit was conducted as claimed by the agency officials and exists, then why hasn't the Forest Service made it available to the public? It seems the agency is hiding something big. What is it? Regardless, if history is a guide, yet another nice request for information will likely have a similar request. The borough has exhausted its diplomatic efforts at fact-finding and should responsibly seek an OIG audit. You may also wish to consider the resolution and or lift much of the language from it in a communication that you have had with the USDA OIG. And noted in resolution, this would include securing the necessary funding for the audit through our congressional delegation. Thank you for your consideration and your considered effort to get to the bottom of this. Thank you very much, Becky Knight. Yes, ma'am.
Go ahead. Maybe Dave wants to go again.
Sure.
Hi, this is also a letter regarding the letter to the Inspector General. Hi, my name is David Beebe. I'm representing myself, and I make the following statements after having reviewed hundreds of agency documents from several different FOIAs. I'm in my fourth month of agency refusal to comply with my last FOIA. It is the independent forensic audit promised by Regional Forester David Schmid and the Chief of the Forest Service several months ago. The issues of multiple failures of public trust and multiple violations of federal laws are adding up. Many were documented by the Washington Office Activity Review nearly 4 years ago. Take a second to let this sink in. It's been nearly 4 years since that investigation was concluded. 3 years since this scandal of national significance was revealed. But if the event is not even adequately covered in local news, how does it get acknowledged on the national level? Sending another letter to the Inspector General instead of adopting a formal resolution is at best a classic example of too little, too late. At best, it seems to expect different results by treating the same failed letter writing strategies. We already know sending letters from the mayor instead of a resolution of the assembly gets routinely ignored or replied to with false promises. There's a term in poker for this delaying tactic. It's called slow rolling. In sports, it's called running out the clock. The problem is, of course, games are not news, and news is not a game. Honest news, like honest government and the rule of law, is crucial to democracy and public trust. The Petersburg Pilot never acknowledged the bombshell Washington Office Activity Review event when it happened. The only coverage of the event produced by public radio is no longer even on the KFSK website. That coverage, lasting all of 1 minute and 45 seconds, never even mentioned the $4 million of losses to the region. No news follow-up occurred for 3 months. This is in clear violation of public media's code of integrity and deprives the public of essential information while it provides the Assembly and members of Congress with plausible deniability. Recall several sudden retirements, transfers, and promotions of key players in the Tonka and Big Thorn timber sales. For instance, the contracting officer at the center of both Tonka and Big Thorn timber sales was promoted to district ranger in Petersburg. What has happened since that promotion? Well, what followed was an immediate court injunction stopping only the latest version of the timber sale administration on the Big Thorn District. Then the follow-up court decision, which once again found the agency guilty of repeated maladministration in violation of many of the same federal laws the Washington office exposed. The same NEPA end run tactics used in the Tonka and Big Thorn projects were used for the latest Big Thorn District timber sale. These same tactics were used on the Petersburg Ranger District for the Central Tongass project.
Thanks, Dave. Can you wrap up your testimony, please?
I know for a fact that I was able to get this done in 5 minutes.
Okay, it's only been 3 minutes.
Okay, that sounds good. I was just trying to sort it out.
The same NEPA end-run tactics used in the Tonka and Big Thorn projects were used for the latest Big Thorn District timber sale. These same tactics were used on the Petersburg Ranger District for the Central Tongass project. These are direct consequences of the failures of the Assembly to pass a resolution to stem ongoing agency corruption. Recall also the Washington Post just last week reported that the Office of Inspector General will be reviewing the legality of a $2 million firefighting budget item becoming a gift to the state, which quickly transferred $250,000 of our tax money directly to the Alaska Forest Association. For what purpose? To train our U.S. Forest Service timber staff on how to lay out timber sales. There's a term for this. It's called regulatory capture, defined as the corruption of authority that occurs when a regulatory agency is co-opted to serve political and industry agendas. The consequences of Assembly slow rolling and silence around regulatory capture does not end there. The Petersburg Borough has quietly lost several salaried positions from the Petersburg Ranger District in the last 5 years. These alone can easily equate to the loss of the better part of $1 million annually to the borough economy. Sooner or later, the borough assembly will have to add all of these costs of slow rolling while failing the public trust. Thank you for this opportunity to speak. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions? Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it. Are there any other persons to be heard unrelated to agenda items? Still? Debbie?
Were you going? Okay. I just wanted to say out loud, if I could, that along with Becky Knight's letter,
sure,
which we received after the deadline for this agenda, sure, we also received three other communications, uh-huh, one from Casey Knight, uh-huh, one from the Reduce Plastic Use Petersburg group,
sure,
and one from Bo Varsano. And for things to be on the record, these comments, they don't necessarily have to be read aloud at the meeting.
Sure.
What I plan to do every time this happens from here on out is I will attach the communications that we get after the deadline for an agenda onto the minutes of that meeting, and then I will also put them on the next agenda under communication, so they'll be on the public record twice. That's just great. Wanted to say it out loud.
Nope. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That was good. So are there any board and commission or committee reports? Seeing none, we'll move on. Is there a motion to... Is there anything on the consent agenda?
There is not.
There is not. Okay. I guess we'll go to item 12, which will be report of other officers, and I think CEO Phil Hofstetter will be on the phone somewhere.
Yeah. Can you hear me? This is Phil Hofstetter, PMC CEO.
Yep, we can hear you, Phil.
Okay, I have Aaron from Public Health also here with me in the room. And want to update. I know everyone is thinking about COVID-19 and just a few things that I would like to update. And Aaron's here for questions and possibly provide some information as well. So for information, we have been providing a daily update at KFSK. And we will continue to do that. Erica, the school superintendent, Aaron from Public Health, myself, some of our staff members, and Sandy at EMS intend on continuing that. And that's the easiest way to get information since the COVID virus is, the information is rapidly changing on such a daily basis. The best way to get information is probably listening to that KFSK Live at 12:30. A couple of other items. We are right now in the Hospital Incident Command activation period. We did that last week. We are ramping that up starting today. So that means for the public and staff coming in through the ER to get screened. And screened means temperature and some questions that are CDC guideline checklist right past the ER doors. Our website will have updated information as well. So anything that's new or latest, we'll have our external website, which will be pmcak.org. But in our hotline, so we'll set up a hotline. We'll have the number posted or advertised tomorrow at 12:30 on KFSK Live for any information, or if you have questions, it'll be there'll be a nurse on the other end of that line 24/7 to make sure that we can respond as quickly as possible. And on anything else, I'll pass some more information, or if Aaron has any information on the public health side.
Phil? Yes, I mainly was. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Okay, go ahead, Aaron. I'll wait.
Mainly, I just wanted to be here tonight to answer any questions that you guys might have that I can help with. Really, we've been giving the bulk of our information on the radio and also with Petersburg Pilot with some interviews. But just really want to emphasize the importance of protective measures that every person in Petersburg and Kuprinov can do. Good hand washing, good cough etiquette, social distancing, which is why we're not actually at the meeting. We're social distancing. We're modeling for that, as still put it. If people can work from home, working from home, I know we keep repeating all these things, but I feel like the more that people hear them, the better the message is going to sink in. We've already seen some of the big entities in town, the schools, the library, Parks and Rec, closing down or partially closing down in response to this. And as far as for what we're seeing with public health, we get lots of questions about people traveling because it's just the nature of Alaska. We're always in transit, it seems like. So if you have questions about what you need to do if you've been traveling recently or if you've got family that's coming back from vacation, spring break, whatnot, regionals, all those kind of things, just you can call the Public Health Center if you have questions. If you are having signs or symptoms, we would encourage you to contact your medical provider before going in so that it can prepare. And signs and symptoms would be fever, a dry cough, or shortness of breath. Those are the most common things we're seeing. So we just want to make sure people are taking the appropriate precautions.
Thanks, Aaron.
And then if you do have questions, if you have questions about COVID, there is a really great resource. You can call 211, and there's somebody there that can answer questions on COVID.
Okay, thanks, Aaron. Member Lynn has a question for you.
Aaron or Phil, one of the questions folks around town have been asking me is if they're tested for coronavirus, where does the test go and how long, what's the turnaround time, what's the procedures that you're using?
Do you want to start for your end?
Yeah, for our end, and then Aaron will fill in. For our end, we're using there's two options. One is to go through the state to send a kit to the state, and the other option is to send it to our lab that we use is Quest Labs. They're down in Washington and capable of testing. Turnaround time on Alaska side, we don't have a recommendation on turnaround time, but it's averaging around 5 days from my understanding. But Aaron, do you have more information on that from the state side?
With the state side, if we have a sample that has been obtained, it gets gold streaked, meaning put on a plane and sent directly to Anchorage or Fairbanks. Once it's received there, it takes 4 to 6 hours for that test to run. So it's just a matter of the transport from Petersburg to Anchorage or Fairbanks. And they're going gold streak, which means it's a priority on the plane.
Thanks, Aaron.
Thank you.
There is, just to add on, there is a substantial, you know, there's a line, a list of, or a long line or waiting list for testing. So we're trying to make sure we follow the CDC guidelines and not just test everyone.
Sure.
So we want to make sure that we can get the turnaround time quickly as possible.
Assemblymember Morrell had a question as well.
I was just curious, if we have a case or a small outbreak, or hopefully that's it, you guys have like a plan of remote testing or backup, or like a backup place for beds if you end up with an overflow?
These are all things we'd be every morning now. We're meeting. It's incident command briefing, and then at the end of the day, we're also briefing. And these are exactly the kinds of questions we have been answering. And we do it. We have identified some places for those locations in that event. We have to firm up a few areas for that. These are the questions and discussions we've been having, and we do have plans for the various scenarios.
All right, thank you.
So, Phil, this is Jeff. So if we have some symptoms that we need to swab and send up to Anchorage, is it a one-on-one test, or is it a group of swabs that go into being tested?
Are you talking about like multiple areas that people are getting swabbed, or
no,
I'm not quite sure.
I'm just trying to sort out if there is, are they doing the swabbing or the testing on a one by one system, or are they doing them in a group of tests?
Oh, you mean when they get to Anchorage or Fairbanks?
Yes, ma'am.
So it just depends on what they're receiving, how much they're receiving. They have the capability of running multiples at one time, but it just depends on how things are being received by the lab at any given time. So they may have a couple of them that come in at a time, or they may have quite a few that come in at a time, but they have the capabilities of running more than one at a time. Okay. As far as the exact total that they can run at any given time, I don't know the answer to that. I'm sorry.
Okay. Thank you. Anybody else?
I have a question.
Go ahead, Chelsea.
Yeah, so I'm back in Petersburg. I got here this afternoon, and our plan is to be doing self-isolation for the next 2 weeks. And Nancy at the bookstore came in as well, and we're working through our protocol for the business. Right now the working protocol is that we'll be closed, but we are trying to figure out how to meet the needs of our customers, and I'm sure that that's something that other people are dealing with as well when it comes to foot traffic and vulnerable populations. Is the two-week timeline for the strict self-isolation best, and then being cautious with the hand sanitizing and the wiping and that kind of stuff? I'm just trying to think it out loud for people that might be trying to understand this in their own kind of semi-public spaces as we figure out what's happening.
Sure. So currently the recommendation is if you're coming from level three countries, so that's pretty much all of Europe, China, or Iran, they're asking that those people home quarantine for 14 days. Now, if you're coming from the lower 48, which and it's considered level two in the United States right now, you don't have to stay home. You can if you like, but if you're not having signs or symptoms, they're not requiring it. It's not a mandate. It's just a guidance. So if you can, if you can stay home.
I think that's where, like, I'm just going to try to encourage people. Like, we're trying to kind of model this a little bit for our community just because we're all basically three steps away, if not sooner, from somebody that's super vulnerable, you know? So how can we create that barrier in such a small town? So thank you for that clarification about the mandated versus recommended. And
the other thing is the social distancing is really important, and they also are encouraging people not to use taxis or public transport if you've been traveling in the lower 48. And to check your temperature twice a day for 2 weeks if you've been traveling in the lower 48. So those are just some other guidance things that people can use that can help protect their community.
Thank you. And then I was really excited to hear about the daily updates on the radio. I do admit that I got somewhat out of touch with what's been going on in town while I was away. Are those being broadcast through Facebook Live, through KFSK's Facebook page? By chance, as well as being on the radio?
I am not.
Chelsea Jones said not yet.
Okay, that would be, because I'm seeing that that's the way a lot of stuff is being shared, and it would be really great to help the communication go forward that way in town, from my perspective at least.
Thanks, Chelsea.
But thank you, for everyone. Yeah, thank you.
Anybody else?
Okay.
Thanks, Phil.
Yeah, thanks, Phil. I appreciate your information. It's helpful.
And Aaron.
Thank you. Yep.
It's all good.
Okay, bye.
Okay. Next up, I think we have the mayor's report. I'll read what Mark has. The assembly is seeking a letter of interest from the borough residents to serve on the Public Safety Advisory Board until the October 2020 municipal election. Letters of interest may be mailed to Clerk Thompson at P.O. Box 329, Petersburg. The local emergency planning committee met last week with hospital, school, and public health nurse and other borough officials and entities and to share information regarding the novel coronavirus and discuss local procedures there. Should there be an outbreak here? And I think next up we have Steve and his manager. Yes, sir. Yeah, you bet.
Yeah, I've got a little for the local emergency planning committee meeting. It was very informative, and I'm glad Phil and it was just on the radio, and it was very informative. I'm glad to hear the daily update at 12:30. And things are changing on a daily basis, so there wasn't really much to add to this report. But one thing I'd like to add to the mayor's report is I'd like to congratulate the Petersburg High School boys and girls basketball teams for taking first place last week at the 2A tournament in Juneau, and a good job representing our community. That's all I have. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much.
I'm up.
You bet.
Okay. Believe it or not, everyone, other things going on besides COVID-19. I will try to whip through those because I know what people's interest is. But one of our most vulnerable facilities is Mountain View Manor. It is a residence facility for assisted living and elderly housing. We have some pretty strict guidelines up there. We cannot restrict people from visiting, but we're highly encouraging you not to. And if you do travel out of Petersburg, Sheila and her staff will ask you a lot of questions. And if you are exhibiting any kind of signs or we're in dangerous areas, we're likely to say it's not good for the people living there for you to visit. So keep that in mind. If you have any questions, call her directly and she'll walk you through what visitation should look like and what you should be as far as condition before you go up there. We're losing Jessica Iramia. She's leaving her position as the library's program coordinator on April 1st. She's done an incredible job for us at the library, and we will all miss her. She will be taking a position as the director of the Sitka Public Library, so congratulate her if she's here. Carrie Peterson has been hired as our new program coordinator. Excuse me. Library has received a community development grant for $3,000 from First Bank for our summer reading program. This is the 11th year that First Bank has been a major sponsor of our summer program. Very appreciative of their support. We're going to be doing some maintenance projects at the library while it's closed, including replacing our propane fireplace with an electric fireplace and replacing some tile around the fixtures in the men's washroom. We did have a 2019 safety inspection at the Cabin Creek Dam and a teleconference with P&D engineers. We did some, we pulled them in and had some additional investigation into what was initially viewed as some suspected voids in and around some low-level outlet pipes. The staff will perform additional inspections in the spring to document some earlier findings that there are no voids around the pipe joints as previously suspected by the inspection engineer. That's a good thing. It means we don't have to do a whole bunch of very expensive work. The water department deserves some kudos. They recently received the 2018 Quality Award for Fluoride Addition from the state of Alaska. The award recognizes the water staff's efforts in meeting all fluoride regulations in calendar year 2018. Rock and Road Construction is planning to start work on the Scow Bay Pump Station number one upgrades. It's going to start in June. And Reed Brothers Construction is planning to start work on the Casino Street gravity sewer replacement in May. CEPA engineers should have information on the replacement of the marine cable at the March 30th and 31st CEPA board meeting in Wrangell. Hopefully we will have a clear recommendation as to how they want to move forward and what the cost associated with replacing or fixing that marine cable. Power and light line crew will begin work on an in-house project to refeed the Main Street substation. This project is borne by the need to replace two rotten poles that currently support the overhead line across Hammer Slough, and the crew will take care of those. Power and Light also recently gave notice to some isolated neighborhoods for some very short outages to enable the line crew to shift electrical loads and better balance our distribution system. The work was a success with a much better balance between phases now in place system-wide. As a reminder, any customer with power quality issues is encouraged to call Power and Light at 772-4203 so that can be investigated. Our assessment notices for property tax went out on property tax valuation went out at the end of February. Property owners have a month to appeal. Appeal forms can be found in the finance department or on the borough's website. Finance Director Tao is beginning the process of a 2010 GEO bond refunding. Bond counsel has been secured, and a resolution will probably come before the assembly at the next assembly meeting. I think $250,000 that'll save us in that neighborhood by refunding, basically refinancing those bonds. Budgets were due today to me. I think a lot of folks are behind on that right now, and I understand that they're working with Jody and I to get those turned in. Once they're all in and Jody works her magic putting it all together, we will also start meeting with individual department heads and going over it to draft the proposed budget for the assembly to review. Our police department assisted the United States Postal Inspector with the investigations and serving of search warrants on a break-in at the post office. So thanks to Jim and his crew for helping with that. We have been testing some body camera equipment, which came in really handy on a recent complaint issue. After a review of the video, proved the officers were professional and accommodating towards the subject. The complainant was offered the chance to review the video, but has not shown up for the review. So it serves its purpose in giving another pair of eyes and helps the officers quite a bit. Local Emergency Planning Committee, you've heard a lot about that. This is or what we referred to as the LEPC. They have met to discuss the COVID-19. Committee is made up of representatives from various stakeholders in the community. The public health nurse, emergency manager from the hospital, provided information on what is known about the virus. Protective measures, testing capabilities. Businesses gave rundowns on their plans to continue operation, much like what you heard here tonight. And Sandy is in those meetings. That's the group that we run through a lot of what we're hoping to do and planning to make sure we're all in sync. And so the hospital, schools, and everybody else are kind of working together. Want a big thanks to PFI, Trading Union, and Hammer and Weekon for providing the community breakfast in honor of the fire department. And thank you to the people who attended and made donations. We had started U.S. Masters Swim at the pool and had been underway since February 25th. Really good attendance on that. The facilitator is Scott Burt, and he completed his U.S. Masters Swim Levels 1 and 2 coach certification. We will continue that once the pool is able to reopen again. So encourage people to, if you're interested in swimming, get involved in it. Other Parks and Rec happenings, we completed the babysitter's training in February for the Girl Scout Troop 4065, wrapped up a great volleyball season with Coach Cabral and Coach Christine Lynn. We did have plans to extend the open gym and open swim in time for spring break and had to shelve those plans and are working with the Alpine Club to look into reopening the rock wall if repairs can be made in an affordable manner. Alaska DNR is proposing a regulation to revise the definition of navigable waters for the purpose of state land leases or conveyance. According to DNR, this revision will narrow the definition of navigable waters and allow the agency to once again lease convey beds of inland waters that are determined to not be navigable in fact. You're right, that's really confusing. Reality is DNR held up all of our land conveyances over this, even though this really has no impact on us. This is getting resolved, and therefore DNR can go back to getting us the acreage that was requested by the local committee and Liz that put that together. Travel Weekly Alaska published a nice feature story on visiting Petersburg and Wrangell. If you'd like to see a copy of that, Liz has that. And the Petersburg Community Foundation's 2020 grant program is accepting applications from area nonprofits. Up to $25,000 is available, with individual grants up to $10,000 awarded. Deadline to apply is April 1st, 2020. Visit PetersburgCF.org for more information. And that is all that's on my report, unless there are questions.
Thank you very much, Steve. Mr. Mayor, or Chelsea, or Jay, are there any questions?
No.
I'm good.
Okay. Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it. Hey, do we need a break, or we just continue on?
Continue on.
We'll continue forward. I guess we're under unfinished business. I guess we're looking at ordinance number 2020-03, an ordinance adopting the Alaska Remote Seller Sales Tax and amending provisions of Charter 4.28 for purposes of consistency. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Yep. It's been moved and seconded. Can we have a brief explanation about what this is from somebody?
Sure. This is just the second reading of the online remote seller sales tax ordinance. Niels Andreasen talked last meeting about it, and it is to adopt the code. That's a unified code that all of the municipalities are adopting right now about this time.
That's great. Thank you very much. Any other questions? Okay. Clerk, can you please call the roll?
You bet. Jeff?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Brandy?
Yes.
Chelsea?
Yes.
Taylor?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. I think the motion passes 6-0, I think. Okay. Unfinished business, 15B, an ordinance amending the Parks and Recreation Municipal Code, Chapter 3.48, titled Parks and Recreation Department to reflect borough incorporation. Is there a motion to approve this?
So move.
Second.
And can we get a brief description of what we're talking about?
Yes, this basically just moves this code from old city code to new borough code.
All right. Any questions? Ms. Mayor, any questions? Okay.
No, not good.
Okay. Debbie, can you please call the roll, please?
Yes, thank you. Chelsea?
Yeah.
Brandy?
Yes.
Jay? Oh, sorry, excused. Taylor?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Thank you.
Motion passes 6-0. Number 15C, an ordinance 2020-05, an ordinance adopting a new Petersburg Municipal Code, Chapter 3.49, title Parks and Recreation Advisory Board. Is there a motion to put this on the floor?
So move.
Second.
Whatever. It's been moved and seconded.
Okay.
Yeah. Any discussion? So, I just want to know what we're talking about here. That's what I'm...
Okay, so I'll just... May I read what's on the agenda?
Absolutely.
The narrative?
Yep.
If adopted, Ordinance 2020-05 will establish a new Parks and Recreation Advisory Board. As written, the ordinance provides for a 5-member elected board. The ordinance could be amended to provide for a 5-member appointed board if the assembly desires. In the case of an appointed board, the assembly would seek letters of interest and appoint board members. Board member terms would still apply. Ordinance 2020-05 was unanimously approved in its first reading. However, during the first reading, as I was doing the minutes, I listened to all the comments, and there were many assembly members discussing adding a provision in the ordinance that states the Parks and Recreation Advisory Board will dissolve automatically if they do not meet within any 12-month period, within any one-year period. You didn't amend the ordinance. You just talked about it. I took the liberty of amending it myself. You can feel free to remove that if you like. I just thought I'd take that step just in case it is what was wanted.
Thank you.
Yeah, I personally like it in there myself.
Yep. Bob?
Yeah, I'm going to vote in favor of it this time, but I am not in favor of establishing a board. I'll let it open for one more time, but on my last vote on the third reading, I'll vote no on it.
Taylor? Anything?
No,
I agree, Bob. I'm not totally sold on the whole argument of the board. I mean, I was on the board. Go ahead, Chelsea.
No, sorry. I thought you were done, Jeff. Don't let me cut you off.
No,
sorry.
That's fine. I can talk.
I'm interested in reasons why we wouldn't have the board, considering the level of input we're getting from the public regarding Parks and Rec policy and changes, because if there isn't a board, we will either always be getting those kinds of comments consistently, or the director, whoever it becomes, which again, part of the goal of this with the timing of it is helping to assist in navigating the future of the Parks and Rec director search. If we don't have that group of people assembled for whoever that new person becomes, they will deal with everything on an individual basis and not having a collaborative group to turn to. So I'm really grateful. Thank you Debbie, for making the amendment. I think that's a really, I guess with that amendment, I'm confused about why anyone, I'm just intrigued about why people don't want to reinstate it, because if it does just do a self-dissolving, then maybe that will be the culmination of whatever the project needs to be. But there is a high level of interest. It's one of the biggest use places in the community. And I think it's a, yeah, so I'm interested in that dialogue, because I think that this is a really important thing to have, at least right now, based on current state of public dialogue.
Thank you. Anybody else? No, I was just, you know, I just want to make sure if we have this board that we have people who want to serve on the board. I mean, I've heard from a lot of people who want to be involved in the discussion, but they're not really, they don't really step up and be on a long-term thing. They're looking for the short-term, trying to help us out getting to a better place where we are in Parks and Rec. And, I mean, I get that. Bob?
So if we adopt it, then it could basically become that by a self-fulfilling prophecy because of the sunset clause. So if that is the concern, this does address it by, you know, if that makes sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Bob?
Yeah. Well, I think we need to also take a look. Is it, there was a board once it became a borough that it no longer, it was voted against and it went out of existence. But even before then, if you look, that board was never filled.
Right.
If you look right now at our public service advisory board, we cannot keep that full. We can't keep members on it. And it's the folks that we have had have resigned for one reason or another. I can support, you know, some of their reasons. So, but yet then we want to create another board, would be parallel to that one, would create the same problems. If we have, you know, situations like we've had with this recently where everybody's interested, yeah, you'd probably have the interest there. But as soon as that falls away,
right,
then there's no reason to have a board, in my opinion.
Yep. Thanks, Bob. Mr. Mayor, anything? Okay.
Yes. I have a follow-up, because I guess who sure. I'm seeing be a part of this potentially, again, I'm playing catch-up now that I'm home, but luckily I'm going to have some time. I'm planning on reaching out to PAA because they're trying to institutionalize the Trails Collaboration Program. We don't necessarily have a we work together on things, but it's always collaboratively. So I imagine somebody from the Trails Department there maybe being a part of this board. I see some of the, so I'm optimistic that people listening will take this seriously and that messaging us will take this seriously as an opportunity for collaboration and growth. And again, it does have the sunset clause, and so it will resolve itself one way or another.
Thanks, Chelsea. Mr. Mayor, anything? Okay.
Any other? Nope.
Any other discussion? Taylor?
I'm with Chelsea on this one. I guess I could go back to my original comments on it, which is where I think if this board had existed, we wouldn't be currently looking for a department head because she was being inundated by the public and hounded. And instead of having a buffer there for her, it was this constant flow of people. If she had a board that could have buffered that and directed things, maybe we wouldn't be here right now. So I think having the board and then with the sunset clause on it, it's not going to hurt anything. We'll give it a go. Hopefully some of the people who were so concerned before will put their effort into this instead of just picking one thing and digging in on it.
Great. Anybody else? Debbie, can you please call the roll?
Yes. Taylor?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Brandy?
Yes.
Chelsea?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Thank you.
I guess we're looking at agenda item 16A.
Yes.
What's that? Oh, sorry. Let me see that.
Is it the disaster one or the...
No, are we doing the disaster one first, Debbie?
Yes.
Yes. Because we amended the agenda. That's correct.
So, we are looking at a declaration of disaster emergency. Is this like a one reading thing or...
It is.
Thank you.
Because it's not an ordinance or a resolution.
Okay.
It's basically a disaster declaration, a declaration of disaster emergency that the borough manager will sign and I will just witness.
Okay.
Really what it needs is for you guys to approve it. I'd be happy to read it out loud if you'd like me to.
Do you think we need to?
Not necessarily. Okay. It will be in the packet, but...
Okay. As long as the community knows what we're doing.
Yeah. You know, since it's not in the packet right now, let me go ahead and read it out loud because it is a declaration of disaster emergency, okay?
That'd be great.
Okay.
Debbie, may I add something before...
Yes. Oh, sure. You bet, Mark.
Go ahead, Mr. Mayor.
No, he just said thank you.
No, I just think it's important to read it. I haven't seen a copy of it. I don't know what it says, so...
Agreed. Thank you.
Bob?
Okay. Yeah. What the purpose behind this is a number of other communities, including Juneau, Sitka, and Ketchikan, have passed declarations of disaster emergency. The purpose is being is if at some time this becomes much more crucial and a crisis mode type of a thing, this puts us in more of a position both for federal funding, for federal assistance. And that's the purpose behind it. The reason that it's got some, you know, timing on this is because we really need, the sooner we put this into effect, the better off we are. We're not sure yet about funding and a few other things and how all that goes, but we really do need to put something like this in effect. Now, go ahead, Debbie O.
Okay, and now that I think about it, we really should read it out loud, especially since we have two members on the phone that need to vote on it. So, so I will do that. I will also email you guys copies after the meeting. I apologize I didn't do that prior. Okay, declaration of disaster emergency. Whereas COVID-19 is a respiratory disease that can result in serious illness or death and is easily transmittable person to person. And whereas on March 11th, 2020, the World Health Organization declared the virus a pandemic. On the same day, Alaska Governor Dunleavy issued a declaration of public health disaster emergency in response to the anticipated outbreak of COVID-19 in Alaska. And on March 13th, 2020, President Donald J. Trump declared a national emergency in response to the virus pandemic.
You guys mute your phones.
Yeah, your phone must be on speaker.
Thank you.
Whereas a positive case of COVID... Wait a minute. Does somebody need to mute their phone? We're getting feedback.
Can you mute your phone, please?
Testing, testing. Okay, thank you. Whereas a positive case of COVID-19 has been identified within the state of Alaska, and whereas on March 13th, 2020, Governor Dunleavy closed all schools in Alaska for 2 weeks, and whereas on March 16th, 2020, Manager Giesbrecht closed the Petersburg Public Library and the Petersburg Parks and Recreation Facilities in an effort to protect the safety and health of borough employees and the public. And whereas borough administration is requesting the public refrain from visiting any borough offices for non-emergency purposes and to instead use other forms of communication, telephone, email, online payment, or use of Dropbox outside main doors to the municipal building, etc., until further notice. And whereas the declared pandemic has the potential to negatively affect the Petersburg borough economy through decreased markets for the commercial fishing fleet catch and decreased opportunity for visitor tourist traffic. And Whereas a declaration of disaster emergency will alert the public to the seriousness of the risk and provide direction to residents of sources of information and other available public health resources, and allow the Petersburg Borough to work in cooperation with other local, state, and federal agencies through the Petersburg Emergency Operations Center to implement appropriate actions and responses to address the COVID-19 outbreak. Now, therefore, in accordance with the recommendations of the Petersburg Emergency Operations Center, I now declare a local disaster emergency in the Petersburg Borough based on the risk to the public posed by the global COVID-19 pandemic and the substantial economic impacts to the Petersburg Borough. In accordance with Alaska Statute 26.23.140, the intent of this declaration is to activate the response and recovery aspects of any and all applicable local or interjurisdictional disaster or emergency plans, and to authorize the furnishing of aid and assistance under those plans, including available federal and state emergency funding. Further, I hereby request that the Assembly continue this declaration until the virus is no longer declared a federal or state emergency.
So do you need a motion to accept this?
Yes, please.
So move.
Second. Is there a second? Then moved and seconded. Any discussion? Mr. Mayor, any discussion? Chelsea?
So Debbie's explained earlier at the start of the meeting this expires April 30th. Is that, or not the declaration, just our meetings can be a quorum by phone? That's something totally separate, I guess. I'm
That's correct.
Confused myself here.
Okay.
Yes, Mayor, that is a separate ordinance that we will be looking at in not the next agenda item, but the one after. It's an emergency ordinance, and all emergency ordinances automatically expire within 60 days. This is a declaration of disaster, so it's different. It's not an ordinance, and we are asking for that disaster declaration to stay in effect until the virus is no longer declared a federal or state emergency.
Got it. Thank you for the explanation.
You bet.
Any questions? Debbie, can you please call the roll?
Yes. Bob?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Mark?
Yeah.
Chelsea?
Yes.
Brandy?
Yes.
Taylor?
Yes.
Thank you.
So I guess we're looking at the budget adjustment. So we're looking at ordinance number 2020-06, an ordinance adjusting the fiscal year 2020 budget for known changes. Is there a motion to put this on the floor?
So move.
Second.
And I guess we're looking for some explanation on what this is. I mean, I think we know what it is, but I think the public needs to
know. Be happy to.
What we're doing. Thank you, Steve.
Sure. There are three items on this. The first one is $72,118 for repairs at the pool. You actually approved half of this, which is the people that are actually going to do the repairs. The rest of this is for the equipment for a total of $72,118. Mm-hmm. And this is for the, not the HVAC system, but the pool heaters, the heat exchangers for the pool itself. Low bid on it was Ferguson, which was, we went out to three different vendors to see on the parts. We couldn't afford to do a full replacement of the entire runs. They were quite a bit more than this, but this replaces all of the guts of both heat exchangers, gaskets, the head cap on them, and should last for quite a while if we can make sure this doesn't happen again. That will be coming out of the property development fund, which currently has $180,000 in it. Second thing on the ordinance is $43,000 in electric expenses. One of the things we did during this is we waived, the school generally pays the electric bill for the pool, for the heat of the water. We waived that since the pool was unavailable and we had the water leak that was driving up electrical costs. So the borough ate those costs. We transferred that money back to the school, and this adjusts the budget for that. And the last is more positive. It's $464,551 towards the motor pool. It's the first check from our insurance provider to get started on the renovation of the motor pool. We did not have that in the budget, clearly, and now we do if you approve this.
Great. Thank you very much. Are there any questions? Mr. Mayor, any questions?
No.
Debbie, can you please call the roll?
Yes. Mark?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Randy?
Yes.
Chelsea?
Yes.
Taylor?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Thank you.
You bet. So now we're on to item resolution number 2020-03.
Actually, we're going to do the emergency ordinance.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yep. That's 2020.07.
2020.07, yes.
Yep. An emergency ordinance amending the borough section, code section 3.08.080 to provide a temporary establishment of a quorum of assembly, four or more, even if participants by teleconference. Is there a motion to have this on the vote? Yeah, it's been moved and seconded. So can we talk just a little bit about this, Debbie?
Yes. So without reading the entire ordinances, it basically gives reasons for why we want this emergency ordinance. And the therefore is pretty much, let me find it here. So what we'll be doing is just allowing for a limited time, and this ordinance requests the time end April 30th, 2020, is allowing a quorum of the assembly to be established even if it's by teleconference. This will not go into code. It will not become a permanent ordinance at all. It is only a temporary emergency ordinance.
Okay. Any questions? Mr. Mayor, any questions?
Yeah, so technically all seven assembly members could call in and have a quorum?
That is true, yes.
Mr.
I have a comment.
Okay, go ahead, Chelsea.
I think this is really great and really important for a temporary solution to a capacity issue. I can't see how many people are in that room right now, but it might be already superseding the 10 people that are supposed to be at at an event right now. So this is, I think, really important for keeping things moving as we adjust to a volatile situation. So thank you for it.
Thank you. Member Lynn?
Yeah, I want to talk just for a minute about your procedures. Your thinking on this, then, Debbie, is that at each one of the next future meetings, the next two or three meetings, that we would determine, we would do either a call-in or would we make a determination before that of we're going to do a call? How do you visualize this working?
I believe that it would be up to each assembly member whether you're going to be at the meeting physically or whether you're going to call in. At this point, we are not allowed to shut the doors. The public is allowed to come in. This could change. It could have already changed, and I don't know. But as of what I knew before this meeting, was that the doors need to be open for the public. So I will be here one way or the other for these meetings.
Okay. And my follow-up question to that is, if we do call in, how are we going to manage then public comment through the phone system? How do we?
We don't really have a good phone system to do that. If I was able to know who was on the phone and let one person talk and turn everybody else down so there's no interruption, and that, you know, and do it that way, then yes, we could do it. If it's a lot of people on the phone, I would have no control over who's speaking when. I was going to try tonight, if we had too many people on the phone, to take names of people that called in prior to the meeting, and then we would call them one by one. But that didn't happen. I thought there may be more comments calling in. So right now, we're not really set up very well. So I would ask the public to communicate via email to the assembly, or regular mail, whatever works. We will get the comments out there, and any comments we receive, I will either put on an agenda if it's not past the deadline. If it is past the deadline, it'll go on the minutes, and then it'll go on the next agenda under communication.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I have a comment.
Go ahead, Chelsea.
About the public testimony. Something that stuck out to me at an event I was at was concern about the sanitation of a shared microphone. Mm-hmm. So even if we did navigate, say, if we were all calling in, but significant numbers of the public wanted to come testify about something, that would be an issue of concern. All it would take would be one person speaking at a shared microphone that way, potentially. So definitely writing, and but, you know, also hopefully we can come up with a solution to that, too, if it comes to that point. That's just for down the road, but, yeah, we're all learning and growing right now in public, so great. Thank you.
And for those that don't know, the assembly's email is assembly@petersburgak.gov. It's also on our website, or you can give me a call if you need any help.
Okay, any other discussion? Yep. We need to call for the questions.
Okay. So this is voting on the emergency ordinance to pass it all in one reading, and we'll be done.
Yep.
Bob?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Brandy?
Yes.
Taylor?
Yes.
Chelsea?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Thank you.
Can we take a 5-minute break? Okay. Thank you.
All right. Well, I've got some tunes here. Play you some Munasa. This is Joseph Klitson, your host. And anyway, this is Tim O'Brien's tune, The Water Is Wise. Follow the laughing water on. Yeah, start that over. There we go.
Somewhere along you will find the right strip stores. Sooner or later you cross to the other side. River starts way up in the mountains, slowly falls all the way to the sea. In between so much twisting and turning, winding its way until it runs free. I don't know where I'm going, but I know how I'll get there. Follow the laughing water all the way down. Build me a boat and I'll float down the middle. Just let the current take me where I'm bound. River starts way up in the mountain, slowly falls all the way to the sea. Between so much twisting and turning, winding its way until it runs free. Long and winding stream. The water is wise, so just let it take you. Just let it take you into your dream. lots of questions. I asked and asked, but no one seemed to hear. But I was the one who should have been listening. Now I know I have nothing to fear. River starts way up in the mountain, slowly falls all the way to the sea. In between so much twisting and turning, winding its way until it runs free.
There's a city on my mind. Come along and take the ride, and it's alright. And it's very far away, but it's growing day by day, and it's alright. We're on a road to nowhere. Oh, come on inside. Taking
which is now agenda item 16D.
Okay, and that is a resolution authorizing the purchase of heat exchanger replacement parts for the Aquatic Center. Is there a motion to approve that?
So moved.
Second.
Thank you. It's moved and seconded. Is there anybody who would like to speak on this, Steve?
That's me.
That'd be great.
Folks had to leave to get to their kids.
I understand
so
that.
I volunteer. You've already approved the expenditure in the first reading.
Mm-hmm.
This is basically saying you're committed to voting for it two more times and giving us permission to go order it and spend the money. The lead time on this is 10 to 12 weeks. So this is a resolution basically authorizing me to spend the money and order these parts so we can get that started. The other, if you don't approve this, then we don't order the parts. You have to go through the next two readings, and we don't order it until then.
Okay. Any questions or anything? So I understand it's a resolution, but why can't we just order this stuff?
Cost.
Okay, because it's a... Okay. Okay. Mr. Mayor, any questions?
So, Member Nucci, so if we pass this resolution, I'm just hypothetical here, and we don't pass Ordinance 2020-2006 for changes to the budget, then this money isn't appropriated? Is that accurate, Steve?
That would be accurate.
Okay, thank you.
Any other discussions? Yep. I guess we need to call.
Okay.
Other questions? Thank you, Debbie.
Chelsea?
Yeah.
Taylor?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Randy?
Yes.
Thank you.
The motion passes. Six or seven of us to the zoo. So just help me here. I'm just trying. I think we're on to D, the letter to DOT regarding...
We are actually on to the motor pool shop repair design contract.
Yep. Is there a motion to pass the motor pool shop design contract?
So move.
A second.
Thank you.
Sorry, you stay
right. Yep, I understand. Are there any questions? Steve or Chris, could we get like a thumbnail sketch about what we're voting on here?
I'll start off. Chris, you jump in if I say anything wrong. How's that? Okay. Motor pool is covered by borough insurance. There's a $25,000 deductible as well as other stuff on some of the vehicles that were endangered. The insurance company sent their own adjusters here. They went through the building. They came up with that it was a cheaper, and they get to make that call to repair rather than to replace. And they worked with this company to design what those costs would be and, you know, but to get to that point. They would like us to use this company to basically create biddable documents so we could put this out on the street and get bids to do the repairs. They'd work with Chris and his staff to make sure all the repairs that we're seeing are included in that, so that when it does go out to bid, you know, we get the finished product that we want. That'll be handled just like a regular bid, meaning it'll go out for bid. Bids will come in. The assembly will be asked to, you know, award that bid, and then we would move forward with construction. So, again, this is majority. This is paid for by the insurance company. This is the company that they would like us to use to do all the paperwork up to this point. Chris, you're on. Did I get anything wrong?
No, that I think you pretty well covered it.
Okay.
Okay. Randy?
And this is just to design the pre-existing building? $50,000? It seems a little steep for a building that's already in place and already has a structural layout. I'm having a hard time swallowing that amount.
There are not any existing plans for the building. So essentially, a set of plans has to be created to reflect what's there now. And then we have to spec out all the finishes, all the materials, and so forth. So there's a lot of work to do. If we had a set of drawings, you know, that was only a few years old, this would be a different scenario. But we don't have anything for that building.
Even though it's just like a basic shape, and you don't have any plans at all. There was nothing prior. There's nothing they can go off of. $50,000 is a lot of money just for a design work on a square building, or rectangular, in my book. But
yeah, well, there's systems inside the building. There's an HVAC system. There's electrical system. There's an overhead crane system. There's a lot of stuff going on in that building. It's not just a box. And like I say, there are no plans to go off of. So we have to be able to have something that we can bid out, so that we can get competitive bids from contractors. And this cost is all going to be covered by insurance reimbursement anyway. So it's not coming out of the borough's pocket. Essentially, it's coming out of the reimbursements that we're getting for the loss.
Two questions. What's the square footage of that? And then also, is the remainder going to cover the entire building? Because I don't want to approve something and then have to take other money out because the building itself, to repair it, costs more than...
Answer your second question first. We have what's called replacement insurance. So when we put... They have estimates at this point, but if this goes out on the street and the estimates are, let's say, half of what it should be, the insurance company still has to pay that. Okay. So it's full replacement. That being said, to add on, we'll have some things. One of the things Chris identified was the concrete floor over years is pretty wrinkled. So on us, we have to pay for that. We're going to have an epoxy laid down on that floor so it's easier for the guys to roll around when they're underneath the vehicle. There will be some costs at the borough, but all of those will be brought to the assembly, and you'll have a chance to say thumbs up, thumbs down. But, if it goes out to bid and it comes back at double what we expect, the insurance company still has to pay for that.
Okay.
So, sorry, your first question and square footage, that's Chris.
Don't have the exact figure. I think it's 5,000, give or take.
Any other questions? Bob?
Yeah. I have two questions to follow up. The overhead crane system, did that finally get included in the replacement, or is that we're going to have to eat that cost?
There's still some work to do on that, if you will. They did include a significant sum in the estimate for repairs. We're still working through with them whether that system's going to be completely replaced or if it's going to be significantly, rehab. Our position is that we need to replace that crane, but so far we haven't been able to really pin anybody down, to give us an opinion on that one way or the other. So we've got a little bit of work to do there, but it is already in the project as a large, portion of the cost because it's a fairly expensive system.
Okay. And my second question is, in the contract, in our negotiations with the insurance carrier, is there latitude in there on some of these items, or is that have we just simply said they've simply handed it over to us, handed this a check, or can we go back to them and say, no, you estimated X, and we said, no, it's X plus 2 cost. Will they cover the X plus 2, going back to a question that you asked?
I'll try to answer this, Chris. They come forward with two options when we got to this point. If we wanted to just take a cash payment, and I'm going to make the number up, so Chris, correct me, it was like $1.3 million,
I think it's right about one, actually.
Thank you. So if we wanted cash, here's $1 million. But they don't do anything to do with repairs, and so if the repairs come in over that, we're out of luck. Or we can exercise our replacement value side of it, which means they replace it to the condition it was in prior, and it gets a little bit better because we get a new roof and stuff. But it doesn't matter what the cost is. They'll replace it. Now, we go in and start doing a bunch of change orders and change things. Then every one of those is a negotiation with the insurance companies. We attempted to have the conversation about the plumbing. The plumbing was an older building. The plumbing was not up to current code. We said, hey, you guys should pay, the extra to bring it farther up to code. I think their answer was no. So we'll have a lot of that. We'll have a lot of back and forth as we get into it starts with the biddable documents and the plans. And, as we go through that with them, we're going to win some and we're going to lose some. We want, any change that's net a good deal for the insurance company, they're clearly going to agree to that pretty quick. Anything that's going to cost them money, we're going to have to negotiate.
I was just going to add that, this scenario really involves us trying to stay as close as we can to what was there prior. We're not going to go outside at the lines and try to make major improvements or upgrades unless they're, something that's called for, like the plumbing. Those aren't major changes, but we can do some small things to bring the building up to code while we're rehabilitating it. The floor, has long known to have been a problem. The mechanics like to use creepers and things, and they can't do that on the existing floor because it's all scarred up and beat up. So, those are things we'll be looking to do, but we're not going to be looking to do major upgrades that aren't necessary from a functional standpoint. We're going to try and keep the job to as close as we can to just replacing what was there before with like-kind equipment.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. Anything else? Debbie, can you please call the roll?
Yes. Brandy?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Chelsea?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Taylor?
Yes.
Thank you.
Motion passes 6-0. So are we now on to the... Go ahead, Mr. Mayor.
During the conversation, I've had this issue before calling in. I can't hear what the department heads are saying in the back room. I couldn't hear an audible at all.
It's always been a crummy connection from the back of the room. It's always been it. I don't know how to make that better. only thing I can think of is that they step up here to this thing here.
Mm-hmm. If need be.
Or that, yeah, they can certainly sit up front.
I just thought I'd interject that because I'm missing out on
that's a valid concern.
Mark, can you hear me? Mark, Mayor Jensen, can you hear me?
I could hear you, Steve.
How does it sound now compared to when Chris was speaking?
I could understand what you're saying anyway.
Okay. Yeah. I'm up at the podium, so I was testing is that better than talking from the back of the room. So
we can hear that great, Steve. I think we'll need to problem solve that if we end up more of us calling in and having department heads speak in the back. I know that happened with Jody earlier for me as well. So as we problem solve so many things, let's try to prioritize that so we can all stay hearing.
Yep, we can do that.
Absolutely.
Yep. Okay. I guess we're under the Department of Transportation letter to Commissioner McKinnon regarding the Cake Access Road. And this is a letter from Mayor Jensen requesting drafting to revise their plans for the Cake Access Road project so the road terminates on Kuprinoff Island side of Wrangell Narrows across from Petersville.
I'll move we send this letter to Commissioner McKinnon.
Okay. A second.
There's a second. Discussion. Mark, Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Is there any discussion on the letter?
Well, I just think it makes sense to send this letter. Terminating the road at 12 Mile Creek is not a very good plan. I would hope that there would be more money appropriated by the state, or if the state urged the DOT to use all of the money for construction instead of spending some of it for other means, other uses, the road would be able to come a lot closer to Petersburg than 12 Mile. If it ends up at 5 Mile for now, that would be better than 12 Mile, but I think the ideal place would be across the Narrows where the waters, even if it's windy, are passable. So that's my thoughts.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Anybody else?
I have some thoughts.
Sure, Chelsea, go ahead.
Considering the road is basically in progress, I'm curious, has there been a, like, logistics-wise, have they done this feasibility, this study, this plan, everything, if they are, in fact, moving forward on building this road this summer, are those things that have been done? And were they part of the meeting, the last public meeting that happened on this project, which was 6 years ago?
Member Merle?
Does anyone know that?
I think most things, we don't get a lot of information out of them for this.
If we were to go to the website, the Cake Access Road site, we may be able to figure it out by looking at their past documents, but without being able to research, I don't think any of us know.
You know.
Okay. Because for me, based on that, that we don't have that immediate information, that they are planning on moving forward with it, like they said, shovel ready right now, and given the fact that our community members over on Kuprinoff have said multiple times very emphatically that they are against the road as it stands currently, let alone coming up towards them, I find this rather, it's a lot. I'm surprised that this was put forward in the language that it's using, because it does feel very disrespectful to the city of Kuprinoff, the conflicted state of opinion on the road among many people in both the Petersburg Borough and the Kate community. And so my personal feeling would be that we do not pass this, that it becomes an issue rather like the Tongass roads amendment, where we take no stance and let the state own this project in its entirety, because at this point the borough has not taken an official position on this road, and I think they should take ownership for it, however it takes its final form, whatever it, the road of imagination turns into.
Thanks, Chelsea. Yeah, I can't support this letter. For me, there's all kinds of, you know, conversations one way or the other about this. I hear from people in Cake who aren't sold on it. I hear from people in Cake who want it. I hear from people in Kuprinoff that don't want it. And I'm trying to sort out, if this road was to go through, where is it going to end? I mean, we don't really get a, I mean, we heard Senator Stebbins talk about it a month ago or so. About if it was up to him, he'd have it come closer to Petersburg. But, I mean, you know, this original decision was like 10 or 12 years ago when the financial picture was a lot different than what it is now. I mean, I appreciate having more access to subsistence and recreational uses out in the Kuprinoff area, but it's just like it sounds like there's lots of discussion that needs to happen before we dive off the cliff here. And, one way or the other, if Senator Sedman says we're going to make this thing happen one way or the other, then let's make it work for us as opposed to making it a road to nowhere that very few people can deal with. So I will be voting against this resolution. So anyway, thank you. Taylor?
I've taken the stance with how Chelsea said it, isn't it? With the Tongass thing and all that, it's like this road, I don't see this road as our road. I know that it was pointed out that it is in our borough, mm-hmm. about the last 7 miles of it, I think, maybe. It's not very much. It's, you know, from Portage to 12 Mile, that is not very far. So, yeah, it is in our borough, but it's not our road. Bringing it closer to Kuprinoff, they don't want it. That's clear. So that's... I don't know. I won't be voting for this. We'll just let the state eat this one.
Any other discussion? Mr. Mayor?
No, I said my 2 cents.
Okay. Chelsea, anything else?
No. Thank you.
Debbie, can you please call the roll in regards to this letter?
Yes. Jeff?
No.
Taylor?
No.
Chelsea?
No.
Mark?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Brandy?
Yes.
We will not be sending the letters. 3-3.
Thank you. I guess we're looking at item F or so. Letter to ADOT and public facilities regarding the 20...
Actually, we're on the letter to Senator Stedman and Representative JKT about the school bond debt reimbursement.
Okie dokie.
I'll move.
Second.
Okay, thank you very much. Is there a discussion here? Debbie, can you please tell us what we're voting on?
Well...
Yes, thank you.
Okay, somebody should.
There's a series of letters that uh-huh. you'll be addressing here. Okay. A majority of them are from AML,
yes.
requesting support on these issues. This particular one is asking both our representative and our senator to weigh in on the school bond debt reimbursement and the school maintenance, deferred maintenance program. Both have been had reduced funding, which costs us in the school money, meaning uh-huh. projects the school wants to do, there's less money for them to do it.
Yep.
And in the case of the school bond debt reimbursement, the assembly raised taxes last July because the governor slashed it by 50%. So
July 4th, mm-hmm. 2019 at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, so This is a letter asking them to fix that, and please to return the funding to both of those programs.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions? Debbie, can you please call the roll?
Taylor?
Yes.
Chelsea?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Brandy?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Motion passes 6-0. Are we on the ADOT STIP plans? Okay. So next up on the agenda, we have a letter to the Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities regarding the proposed 2020-2023 statewide transportation improvement program. Is there a motion to support this letter?
So moved.
And seconded? Any discussion?
Second.
Steve, is this something we've... Go ahead, Mr. Mayor.
I think this is very important to send. It's just... If you look at the STIP program and the way it's proposed for 2020 to 2023, I think Steve did a good job putting this letter together. The disparity with what the rail belt gets versus the rural communities is quite obvious, and there's no real money in it for repairs for ferry ships themselves. There's some money in the ferry terminals over the next 3 years, but... I think it's probably going to fall on deaf ears, but I think it would be a good idea to send this letter.
Yep, thank you. Anybody else? Yep. Debbie, can you please call the roll?
Certainly. Taylor?
Yes.
Chelsea?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Brandy?
Yes.
So hopefully we're on to the letter to Representatives Fields and Christ-Tompkins regarding the Ocean Ranger program. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Thank you.
Second.
Thank you. And what are we talking about here, Debbie or Steve?
This is fine. Again, this is there's a bill to replace the Ocean Rangers with some DEC employees. This letter basically says we prefer to keep the Ocean Ranger program until the state develops something that can replace it in a better manner. This also addresses a concern that we've heard from folks and the mayor has brought up, which is asking them to do water sampling testing, and making sure that we know what's going into our waters. The reason it's to the two of JKT and Representative Fields, they are the two co-chairs of the House State Affairs Committee who will be dealing with this issue in the House.
Okay. Thank you very much. Member Lynn?
Yeah, that bill also talks specifically to going to electronic testing. And Mike, doing some telephone calls on it, I don't think the science is well enough along to go to testing electronically on a ship, because what they're saying is every one of the tour ships is individual in itself. All of them have different systems. So there's not one size fits all. So you don't want to throw out the current program we got till you get something more effective in place. And that's essentially what we're asking for here. And I agree with the mayor on the water testing, too, as part of that.
Yep. Thank you, Bob. Anybody else? Mr. Mayor, anything? Okay. Okay, Debbie, can you please call the roll?
Yes. Randy?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Taylor?
Yes.
Chelsea?
Yes.
Thank you.
Passes 6-0. I guess the next thing we're talking about is a letter to Senator Sedman regarding Senate Bill 183 regarding abandoned vehicles. Is there a motion to approve this letter?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. And is this abandoned vehicles like on the edge of the highway, or is this out on the seaways?
This is abandoned vehicles wherever they may be found. So one of the challenges with the Alaska's current statutes on this issue are that there's a very, very long delay built into, let's say, I take an abandoned car and take it over to your house, Member Mucci, and dump it on your front yard.
That'd be great. Yeah.
That'd be great. About 6 months is the process time, unless you pay to have somebody come tow it off. So this is trying to rectify that.
Okay.
There's not a time put in there to what it should be shrunk to, but it is a conversation that AML has been asked to pursue by many members. We jumped in as well, saying, hey, let's tighten this up a little bit. I mean, it doesn't have to be 5 days, but, you know, 6 months is a little long for allowing these vehicles to sit there and attract nuisance.
So. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Taylor?
Would this also apply to vehicles that were more or less like abandoned on the side of the road type thing
correct.
As well?
Yeah. Okay. Yes, sir. I'm saying it would be any abandoned vehicle, not just on someone's property,
but okay.
Along the road, in a park, wherever they may occur.
Member Lynn?
Does it make the process more complicated, or is it would be easier? What's your redo of the bill?
It would make it easier. There's some notification processes that have to happen that, you know, we'd have to be pretty good at it. I mean, you have to keep track of what you're doing. You also have to look up, you know, potential owners, most of what we already do on abandoned vehicles. But, I mean, if you're going to do it faster, you also have to go through the process of, you know, making sure you're notifying the owner and stuff and have to do that. So it's not more difficult. It's just we have to do it correctly if we would follow this.
Thank you.
Yeah. Any other questions? Debbie, can you please call the roll?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Brandy?
Yes.
Chelsea?
Yes.
Taylor?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Debbie. I guess next up we have a letter to Senator Stedman and Representative Christ Tompkins regarding community assistance. And there's a letter for that. And is there a motion to approve that letter to go forward?
So move.
Second.
Thank you. And then can we have a little explanation? I mean, I think all these letters are kind of from AML. Looking for support from the local communities, and
that is true.
Anything else to add to this, Steve?
Well, I think it's right up the right in the middle of the letter is the real key issue.
Mm-hmm.
Since 2000 to our FY18 budget, community assistance has gone down by just over $78,000 for Petersburg. So that is no longer funded. They're allowing the balance of that fund to slowly diminish. So this we're losing another third of it this year. We'll lose another third next year, and then the following year will be the last third, and the program will cease to exist. So if it's not refunded, recapitalized by the legislature and signed by the governor, that program will be gone, and not just us, but many, many communities that rely on it will be in trouble.
Okay. Any discussion? Mr. Mayor? Chelsea?
I think we're going to find ourselves in a situation where the state doesn't have much money with the state of affairs with the price of oil and the stock market being what it is, but that doesn't hurt to ask.
Yeah. Yep. So, Debbie, can you please call the roll?
Yes. Mark?
Yes.
Chelsea?
Yes.
Taylor?
Yes.
Brandy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Thank you.
So I'm thinking that we're looking at the letter to Department of Agriculture Inspector General Fong regarding the Tonka and Big Thorn Integrated Resource Timber Contracts. So is there a motion to approve a letter to these folks?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? Wow. Okay. Debbie, can you please call the roll? I guess. Yeah, unless you need any clarification.
I don't.
Okay.
Okay. Chelsea?
Yes.
Brandy?
Yes.
Taylor?
Yes.
Mark?
No.
Jeff?
Yes.
Bob?
No.
Passes 4-2.
Yeah. Okay. How are we doing, Debbie?
We're good. We're good.
Okay. And so under communications, we have 17A, a letter from the Public Safety Commissioner Price regarding the Cake Access Road project. So do we need to read that? Or
no.
It's just in the agenda. Okay.
Yeah.
Also, we have a letter from Ron Busham regarding the Cake Access Road project as well. And we have a letter from Teresa Cerulli regarding the Cake Access Road project as well.
Mr. Chair?
You betcha, Mr. Mayor.
I would like to just interject one thing without going into the detail of these letters, but these were submitted late for the last meeting, so they were in the minutes, and they're under communications at this one, like we're going to do in the future, like the clerk said earlier, but all three of these letters supported the Cake Access Road.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Okay, so where are we here?
Assembly discussion items.
Okay, so we aren't going into, are we going to go into executive session?
No.
Nope.
No.
No.
Right. We were just going to discuss executive session.
Okay. So let's do that right now.
Oh, I have to talk again.
You don't.
You don't.
Things have changed a little bit since we did this agenda.
Yes.
So that's why I was looking at you.
Yes.
Yeah, let me do
that. Okay, thank you.
We were trying to figure out a date so that we could do an executive session, probably as a special meeting, just because it may take some time. And we needed to be able to do that before negotiations started, which were scheduled to start April 6th. So, or 7th.
What,
okay, April 6th.
Or 7th.
We have since that time delayed negotiations per the union's request to May 1st, May.
Oh. We said we were going to talk the last April, I think.
So we have more time. I guess I can still ask the question, how would the assembly like to deal with this? Here's the crux of it. We'll need to talk with the assembly in executive session to talk about what kind of offer we should make to PMEA. Do you want to go through the entire PMEA contract and all of that that entails, the requests, the things we're asking to change? Or not. And we want to just make sure that everybody's still on board with who we have on the negotiating team and has anything changed. So if you want to go through the whole contract, I think it took us with the department heads who already know this contract in many ways about 2 or 3 hours.
Yeah, it was over two.
So if the assembly's going to do this, it's going to take probably a little longer. So it'd be a very long meeting. I'm just, how do you want to do it? Understanding that the key issue for us is what do we offer the union? What do we want to negotiate? Going over the contract is not required, but several of you had asked about it at one point and wanted to give you that opportunity. So that's.
Can I make a suggestion? Yeah, can we hand out the previous contract and then you guys can just show us the differences? And so if we want to go through that on our own, then when it comes to negotiation time, we can just look at the differences as opposed to going through the whole.
Yes, I love that idea. So one thing I was going to suggest is exactly what you're suggesting. I have a draft of the entire collective bargaining agreement showing the changes that we would like to propose. So it'd be just like what you see on an ordinance where it's being changed. Anything that we want deleted will be struck through. Anything that we would like to add will be in red so you can see the changes. I would like to finalize that, which is going to take me a little bit, email it to all of you. And it would be your homework then to read it. And then if you have any questions about the changes or suggestions, then at the executive session or prior, you could come in and, you know, ask questions prior. But at the executive session, then you would be able to give your comments on whatever it is.
Member Lynn?
Yeah, so your thinking is to go through this line by line?
No, I'm just saying that we can get the contract with the changes so that we can review it before sitting in an executive session so we don't have to sit there and pick it apart for 3 hours and, you know, we can actually have a chance to look it over ourselves and
ask any questions or whatever.
As opposed to going through line by line.
Yeah, that's what Brandy's
suggesting. I'm thinking. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. The major items is what I'd like to stick with. The issues.
Go ahead.
And then I guess has the has PMEA paid any heed to the fact that tourism is probably not going to be very good this year, and the bottom has fallen out of at least the halibut market for right now, so that as far as money coming into the community, it's probably not going to be very good this year, and that maybe they shouldn't be asking for more, more, more when we have less, less, less to give?
They have not said that to me. I'm not an expert on any of this. My guess is they won't, but that they could surprise me. At this time, I mean, I'm going by what Michael Special, who is their the APEA union guy for PMEA, he feels the employees have been shortchanged for the last few contracts and is expecting us to prove something more than they've previously got. I mean, now, what does that more mean? We haven't got there yet. That'll be part of negotiations.
Okay.
So, so just a question. Yeah, go ahead, Mr. Mayor.
I have a question for the clerk, and I would like clarification on this. If you give us the proposals for this, your negotiations, that's definitely going to be confidential information for the assembly members to keep for themselves, correct?
Yes, most definitely, yes.
Okay, just wanted to clarify that. So.
Thank you.
All right, thanks.
So just a question to the manager. So can you provide us at some time some of the issues that you would like to see addressed during this negotiations? I mean, you don't have to tell me right now. This is something that we could talk about during an executive session, but I'm just trying to sort out if everything is working correctly or if there are some things that the borough would like to see addressed.
I can kind of answer. You'll be amazed at how many changes we'd like to see.
Okay, sure.
This goes on at every negotiation. By the way, the union's going to do the same thing.
Sure.
And, you know, we're not going to get everything we want, and they're not going to get everything they want, and somewhere in the middle we hope to land. So when you see the contract, you'll see a lot of that. You'll see all of the things that we're asking to change. What we can do is try to give you, you know, give the assembly, you know, maybe top two or three things that were really, really we don't want to walk away from the table without getting. Sure. You know, clearly the thing that usually gets everybody's attention, and rightfully so, is the economic side of it. In other words, what people are going to get in their paychecks or and so that's what the employees often focus on. That's what, you know, assemblies often focus on. That's what the community focuses on. You know, we're a little different. We have to deal with the nuts and bolts of this. So sometimes the issues for us are, you know, how we record something or, you know, how do we call something overtime versus regular pay? Things that wording that will make probably very little sense to the assembly but makes a whole lot of importance to us. We'll try to call those out for you. But we will encourage you to read the contract and ask us questions because, I mean, that's what you're going to see, a whole bunch of things where we're saying we want this out. We want this added, you know, and we're not going into detail explaining why those things are. That would be where we'd want you to ask questions.
Sure. Member Lynn?
Wouldn't what you're asking for be better handled in an executive session, those key points and things?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
No, absolutely. You know, what I'm looking for is I've seen documents that they're highlighted what stays in, what stays out, and that helps me read what's going on. And that's what I'm looking for in a document that comes from the borough. I mean, I understand that some of the borough employees are looking what they're looking for, but I mean, I think it's just we're all in this together, and I think if it's easier for us for me to read, I think it'll help me understand things better.
Did I miss anything, Debbie? I mean, we did an incredibly thorough job on the review of this.
Yep.
Again, I just. Bears repeating, we will not get everything we want.
No, I understand.
And the union will not get everything they want. And hopefully all sides understand that very well.
I understand.
So, Steve, are we going to try to have the executive session at the next meeting, which I think is April 6th?
What are we?
Yes, it is April 6th.
I think we'd almost need to. This is discussion. I'm sorry.
Sure. I have a suggestion. Mr. Mayor, I'm just trying to sort of, I think the best thing to do is at least have a conversation about what direction we want to go. I mean, we might not have the end of where we want to go, but at least a discussion to give staff kind of some of our thoughts. We might not have them all thought out yet, but I mean, the sooner the better that we just start chatting about this. I mean, we can spend a lot of time on the phone and stuff, but as long as we start understanding kind of where we want to be as a borough folks, I think sooner the better. I mean, we can certainly make it the second meeting in April, but whatever the body wants to do.
I'm a little worried about the second meeting, if I may, just because if we're going to start negotiating May 1st,
sure.
I want as much time as possible sure. between the time we know what the assembly wants and the time that we have to meet so we can build,
be prepared
when yeah. we meet with the union.
Member Merle?
Is there anything wrong with doing it after the meeting on the 6th? Did anyone else have a problem with that?
You mean the afternoon? Yeah.
Well, yeah, just right following that one.
That'd be good.
Mr. Mayor?
Yeah, it seems to me like in the past we've had more than one executive session. So I would, think probably by April 1st or 6th, is that the first meeting in the month? Hopefully I'll be back. Generally we are done with the herring fishery and Craig and home by then. And to give, to get a feel for what the managers are negotiating with the union, and then maybe we could give them our input, give them direction, what we think we'd like to see as an end result.
Okay, do we want to do it in the evening or
right after the regular meeting?
Okay, we'll just put it on the agenda for the first meeting in April.
Wonderful.
And are you looking for comments from the assembly about direction that we would like to go with that before then?
No, during the executive session.
All right. That's great.
Questions before and during.
Okay. Anything else on the...
So the next discussion item was about the quorum requirements. I put this on there, of course, before we realized that we were going to do the emergency ordinance, so there's really not a reason to discuss the next.
Well, I was just going to maybe, I guess this is under comments. I just wanted to make sure that everybody knew, because I've already talked to you, but I did ask Debbie to look into what we as a borough can do, what type of jurisdiction we have over the borough, basically. Beyond our borough facilities, for whether there is a curfew put in place or we have to minimize the amount of people that are in functions or whatever it is that we feel that we must do as a borough if we even have the jurisdiction to do that. So she was going to look into that for us so that we can maybe have a plan prior to complete chaos if that so occurs.
Unless complete chaos is in the morning.
My God, I hope not. But yes.
Member Nora? Do you have anything?
Oh, no, I was just, sorry. Okay. I use my hands a lot.
That's fine. Anything else?
No.
Sorry? Positive COVID-19 cases.
Are we?
Okay, hold on. Hey. Just 1 second. Say that one more time.
2 positive cases of COVID-19.
Fairbanks.
In Fairbanks. Okay.
We're up to 3.
Okay, so are we, I'm confused about where we are on the agenda. Are we in the comments or are we referring to the, I understand the topic, but just where are we at? Because I had a comment to close out about COVID-19. Should that happen now or should we
sure.
get to that?
We are in assembly stage. Discussion. Okay. We are in assembly discussion items, I'm guessing.
Under assembly member comments, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I just wanted to highlight that Representative Christ Tompkins has been in Juneau helping raise the issue of this response. They're trying to, because right now if they want to talk about something or do something, it has to be, it's a five-day, or 5-day required pre-posting time. So there will be a information session at the legislature tomorrow, and the House coalition is looking into quite a few systemic issues right now regarding it, including state employees being able to work at home, figuring out telework mandates, travel restrictions, that kind of thing. So I'm planning on checking in with Ellen down at the LIO to help me keep track of what that conversation is like and where that's happening. And I'm interested in how those will dovetail with exactly what Assemblymember Morrell was saying about what our role will be as a community, figuring out, local curfews or, suggestions or what, and just the dynamicness of the situation is really important. And I'm also interested, I'm hoping to follow up more with employers and think about just as we see how things could change, because we also want all of this to be a lot of prep work, right, that we end up not needing. But if something really did kind of spiral, one thought that I had was for people that are in at-risk categories in workplaces that may not be in a position to offer them paid time off right now, what role could we do as a borough to help those employees make ends meet? And whether that's power, how can we financially support even in a temporary status for the next couple of months? If people are already in a tight situation, they're going to be compelled to go to work, even if it might place them in a high-risk situation. And that could only exacerbate an issue in town. And so I'm going to be watching what's happening in Juneau really closely and hoping that that gives some support to our community at the hyper-local level as well as at the borough level. And then I'm hoping to also get some ideas from everyone about how we could do some hyper-local solutions to support each other staying at home. So a lot can happen in 2 weeks, turns out. So here we go.
Less than that.
A lot can happen in
by
two
4 days.
No joke.
Is there any other assembly member comments? I just wanted to thank city staff.
Are we under the comments now?
Yes, we are, Mr. Mayor. Go ahead. Yes, we are, Mr. Mayor. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, we can.
Yeah, I'd just like to mention that, we've talked about this at the local emergency planning committee, that we have Sandy Dixon as the go-to person in the borough. And if there's any questions from people, they should contact her or our manager. And we're relying on the medical professionals in town, the health clinic and the beautiful medical center. And so I think that information is very good to keep an eye on in the CDC as well. But I have one other topic I'd like to make a comment on. And, now we see that there's two confirmed cases in Fairbanks. And we talked about tourism a little bit. When is the borough, or are we going to discuss or take a position on the upcoming cruise ship traffic that we're supposed to have, that's going to be coming to Petersburg this summer? And how are we planning on monitoring that? Major cruise industries have closed down. Canada won't allow any cruise ship in over 500 passengers. So I think it's something that I would hope the local emergency planning committee is looking into and trying to come up with a solution for, monitoring our visitors. So I just wanted to interject that.
Do we have a never mind.
Yep. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Anybody else?
I mean, assuming that the borders aren't shut and we don't get any.
No, I just want to, my recognition is I just wanted to thank the borough and Sandy and the hospital and the school just to kind of helping us sort through this stuff. This is stuff that we've never dealt with before. And it's uncharted territory, and I think we're not trying to panic anybody. We're just trying to make sure you wash your hands, keep your hands out of your face, and kind of limit your face between people. I mean, it's easy stuff, but we'll get there.
I just wanted to echo that, it's gotten to the point, it's pretty past the face watching. It's crowd capacity, it's being in space, it's escalating
rapidly.
The the change in behavior and the norms just as I was traveling was making it hyper visible. So yeah, so wash your hands and don't touch your face, but also stay home if at all possible. It's really, really important that we do that. And I was, like, a comment I saw somebody say was, I'm okay, like, I have a compromised immune system, but it's okay because my husband is going out shopping for me. And, you know, it's really, really easy for many people to be carriers and have zero symptoms. And so just assume, like, I'm at this point assuming that I could be a carrier because there's no real way for me to know. Right now, I don't fit any of the qualifications for, I have no symptoms, I have no anything, but I have been in public spaces and I'm in the demographic where I would not show any symptoms. And so I'm taking it on myself to act accordingly as if I do have it and to try to create that barrier that way. And so I just hope people think of their own movements and their own interactions with the public and try to carry themselves accordingly, but then also try to recognize where people may not be able to do that, and so try to fill in those needs for your neighbors. You know, someone else needs to go shopping for that husband, so the husband doesn't have to go home, go out, and then bring it back potentially. That kind of thing. And that's just from coincidentally, the people I was staying with included a med student and a public health official. So I was getting some, they were getting real-time updates as I was staying with them. And we're very, very lucky to have such an amazing staff in town and to have the local communication we do and all that jazz, and to have all the businesses on board doing what they need to for their employees is really huge. And I feel really grateful to have made it home. Feels really good. And I'm, very grateful. Thank you, everyone, for all your work.
All right, welcome back. Is there any other discussion?
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Any other discussion items? The best part of the meeting is that next motion.
So move.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Petersburg Borough Assembly meetings are brought to you by KFSK and Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, helping clients find out how to protect any valuable asset, from stamp or teacup collections to houses and boats of all sizes and everything in between. Plenty of information from the local agents is available. Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, 772-3858.